Amen. It is good to be here this evening. Shall we pray? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to once again be able to come into thy presence to sing these songs. I'm so glad tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that you do pilot me. You are the sovereign. You are the one who is in control, and I'm so thankful that I know that. It gives comfort to this heart. It gives comfort in these troublesome times that we live in. We just pray to Heavenly Father that we would always be in the awareness of that great fact. It doesn't matter how the world may rage, we know that you are in control. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your blessings upon us tonight as we take a few moments to look into your word. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you instruct us from your word as we've been looking at false prophets, and tonight we'll be looking at false prophetesses, basically two of the same individuals. We just pray to Heavenly Father, knowing that false prophets abound in the world in which we live today, that you would keep us from it, that we would always be on guard, that we would know your word, that we would be grounded and steadfast and unmovable in your word. May your grace abound richly to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Chapter 13, and as we said last week, we would begin tonight looking at the last section of this chapter, which is verses 17 through the end of the chapter. Let's read those verses before we get started this evening. Verse 17, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the woman that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me and my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live? By your lying to my people that hear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from the wicked way by promising him life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. There's that phrase again, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And how much better to know that he is the Lord in salvation rather than to have to experience his wrath and know that he is the Lord, that he is Jehovah, God Almighty. This section, as we said, deals with the false prophetesses, and it is God's condemnation of the false prophetesses. He calls them the daughters of Judah, daughters of Israel, who were involved with the practice of divination, according to verse 3. You shall no more divine divination. You shall no more practice. You shall no more declare divination or witchcraft, or the same thing the false prophets do. Another meaning of the word is false prophets. Witchcraft is false prophets. They're false. It's falsehoods. They were false prophetesses, being women. As we consider that, we want to consider God's indictment. He starts off right away with his indictment against them. And his indictment against them is very much the same as it was against the false prophets. God issues strong indictments against these women who were involved in these practices and thereby were deceiving the people. Strong indictments. I mean, they're powerful. Because there are indictments that he lays against them because their practices were against him. They were against God. They were anti-God. They were false. They were not of God. In verse 17, as we look at that, he says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people. We looked at that some time back in chapters 2 and 3 about how that he was not to fear them. He was not, even though he was amongst briars and thistles and scorpions and stuff. And in chapter 3, then he was not to fear their faces, but his face was to be as a flint. In fact, God said, I will make your face as a flint against them. So we see here, again, more language. God is just telling him his face is to be against them. He's not to fear them. He's not to fear their faces. He's not to fear their scorn, even though it might be briars and thistles, even though it might be as the sting of a scorpion, even though their faces may be adamant against him. He's not to fear their faces, but his face is to be harder than their face. His face will be as flint. Set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. Which prophesy out of their own heart. Well, that sounds very, very familiar, doesn't it? Going back up to verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. And then he went on to say about them, hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. You see, prophesying out of something from your own heart, speaking as the words of God, as it is to be the words of God, but speaking that which is from your own heart and not actually the words of God, is following your own spirit. You see. We see that he is to prophesy against them. But before we get into his prophecy against them, they spoke out of their own heart. It was not God's word, which they rejected, and so spoke their own words. They rejected the word of God. It was not God's word. They rejected God's word, and because they did, they spoke their own heart, their own words. That was poured forth from their own heart. Well, we know what Jesus said about the heart. The heart of man being the fountain of evil. We know what God said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? The heart is wicked. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that from the heart proceed evil thoughts, evil transgressions, fornications, adulteries, murders, lying, deceit, all of that proceeds forth from the heart, from the wicked heart. So these false prophetesses demonstrated who they were by rejecting God's word and prophesying that which was from their own heart, which is the source of evil, which is the source of wickedness. They also painted, as did the false prophets, they painted a rosy picture of peace and prosperity. They said nearly the same things as the false prophets. And that's in keeping with their divining divination, which was said in verse 23, which is to speak false as the false prophets. It's as witchcraft. It would be using witchcraft as though this is of God. This is the power of God. I'm able to do this by the power of God. I'm able to speak this as the power of God. You've heard me say before that we as children of God who are trusting in God, we know of his power, because we know of his power to quicken us from dead in trespasses and sins, to make us alive unto him. Therefore, we know the power of God and the power of the resurrection. We ought not to get mixed up in those kind of things. We ought not to get mixed up in fortune telling. We ought not to get mixed up in the zodiac. And I can't even think of what it's called now. You were born this month, and so you know these things fall to these people born in under this sign, you know, and the signs of the zodiac. And we got no business messing around with it. God's in control. God's in control of our life. In the life of a Christian, he desires it to be walked in holiness and righteousness as according to his word. His word is the pattern. His word is the guide for us to walk in the path of holiness, in the path of righteousness. And of course, we know the psalmist have much to say about the word of God being his light, being his path, showing him the way of the Lord. And so we are to pick up the book and we're to follow in that way. But Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14, concerning these false prophetesses. In verse 14, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart." You see, these false prophetesses were doing the same thing that God levies against these false prophets in Jeremiah chapter 14. They were doing the same thing. They were speaking from their heart. That's what those false prophets were doing. That's what the false prophets in Ezekiel chapter 13 they were doing. And these false prophetesses were doing the same thing. It was not good. It was not a good path to be on. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, and we see such a one in the book of Revelation, and one of the Lord's churches, one of the churches of Asia, and his indictment against her. He said in verse 20 of chapter 2 of Revelation, he said, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel," not Ahab's wife, Jezebel, but this is another Jezebel, which if we get done reading this, she was ever bit as wicked as the Jezebel of Ahab. "Thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." So here in thousands of years later, 2,000 years later, well, maybe not quite 2,000, maybe 1,000 years later, we have a woman in one of the Lord's churches which did not exist in the days of Ezekiel. In fact, the prophets, most of the prophets did not see the church age, did not see the church. We find this woman is a prophetess, calls herself a prophetess, and she deceives the people of God. She deceives the people in the church. She deceives them to commit fornication, to commit spiritual fornication against God, against the Lord Jesus Christ. Terrible thing. Same thing with these false prophets and false prophetesses were doing in Ezekiel's day. They were causing Israel, they were causing Judah to commit spiritual adultery against God. And we'll get into that more in the 14th chapter. But we find these false prophetesses, this false prophetess in the church Revelation, evil, wicked women. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. This is a passage of scripture that we looked at when we looked at the false prophets. But chapter 11 and verse 14, We read, and no marvel. For Satan himself is translated into an angel of light. Don't marvel at these false prophets and prophetesses, because Satan himself, these are evil, wicked people, as is noted by the fact that they prophesy from their own heart. They don't prophesy the word of God. They're imposters. They're false. They're not the truth. They're not the real deal. Then we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Don't think that's a strange thing. Don't marvel at that. Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, which these false prophets and prophetesses are, they are his ministers, just as Jezebel was there in that church in Revelation. She was a false prophetess. Was not of the Lord. She was Satan's minister, transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Which is the ends of that woman Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2. It's a dreadful end. Not a pretty end. Then we find in verse 18 of our text that they were ensnared. These false prophetesses, they ensnared the souls of the people. They laid a trap for them, and they caught them in their snare. Look at verse 18. It said, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people? And will you save the souls alive that come unto you? Sounds strange, doesn't it? The sewing of pillows to every armhole. What was behind this? Well, they made phylacteries. That's what these pillows were. They were phylacteries. They were false phylacteries. What's a phylactery? Well, the word here comes from a Greek word that means a preservative, preservation. They were parchments. Parchments on which scripture texts were written. The word of God was written. The law of God was written. There was two passages in the book of Exodus, but we have two familiar passages that we know of in the book of Deuteronomy. Turn with me there to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6. They were as frontlets before their eyes. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look with me here at verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You see, God wanted his word to live in them, to be a part of them, to be a part of their life. He wanted them talking of it. He wanted them memorizing it. He wanted them talking about it to their children and their experiences and how God had delivered them, how God had brought them forth, how God had brought them to this land, into this place. He wanted them to rehearse with them his commandments. His commandments of keeping separate the clean and the unclean. His commandments of honoring the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And that will govern your path with your fellow man. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, it will govern your path with your fellow man. He wanted them ever before their eyes. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy repeats much the same thing in verses 18 to 21. He said, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them, your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Again, he wanted them before their eyes, always, constantly. These people, Israel, had degraded, had fallen from the Lord. This began to be a practice in which to preserve themselves and to keep evil away. This phylacteries, and it was parchments, and it was so big by so big, and it would have things written on it, and they kept it in a little leather pouch and kept it with them. And sewed it to the armholes. So it was there. The garments. Most think they were sewn like right up in here. Someplace where they could reach in and they could pull out one, you know, and to ward off evil. Much the same would be denoted with the kerchief, which was a veil that they placed over them, and it was meant for protection. It was meant for keeping evil away. Well, you can see the superstition in it. You can see the witchcraft in it, the divination. It was false. You see, and if they actually did have the scripture. The passage 2 that we read and the passages in Exodus written down, if they actually did have them written down, well, it wasn't so that they might apply it to their heart. It was so that it could keep evil away. It was so that good prosperity would come upon them. It would preserve them. Can you think of any such practices today? I think we were talking about it Sunday. And I think it was maybe in Sunday school class. You ever see something sitting on the dash of a car driving down the road? Supposed to keep the evil, supposed to protect the car, whatever their saint so-and-so is that they use. Oh, there's a lot of false practices that are being done today that's foolishness. Foolishness. God's people are not to get wrapped up in that. God's people have the assurance that the Lord is with them. God's people have the assurance that He has angels that are watching over them, that are keeping them. Now, these veils, as we said, are similar in keeping that they drape over them to keep the evil away. They hunted souls. What's that mean? They hunted souls. The Lord said, "Will you hunt the souls of my people?" Well, yeah, that's what they did. They went out and preyed on people. I try not to frequent those places, those streets where, you know, the fortune tellers are and everything. They try to woo you into their little space. They want customers. To them it's a way of making a living. They love the God of Mammon. They love the God of gold and silver. And they prey on people. They hunt people down. They try to convince them in their foolish ways. God's, why? Because they sell these pillows. They sell these phylacteries. They sell these veils. And they make money from it. They get people entrapped in it. It's as a bird catcher to catch and to snare birds. That's what they are. They're catching and snaring people. Here, you need these phylacteries. You need these veils to keep evil away. You better buy these for your family. Don't just buy one or two, but buy enough for your whole family. You know the people. We've all met those kind of people. The Lord says, "Will you save the souls alive that come unto you? By this foolishness, will you save these people? My wrath is coming. My wrath is coming upon them. My wrath is coming upon you. Will you save these people by your foolishness? Will you save these people by your faults, your divinations? By your false practices, your false proclamations. Listen, let me tell you. Just as the false prophets were wicked and evil men, these false prophetesses are wicked and evil women. They're no different from some that we read about. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, they're one and the same. Proverbs chapter 5. And these women spoken of here are a strange woman who's trying to entice one into her bed. But in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." You see, they deceive. See, these false prophetesses and this strange woman in Proverbs chapter 5, they're one and the same. They're trying to deceive people into their falsehoods. Just as these strange women were trying to deceive men into their bed, and it's for gain, it's for financial gain, it's for money. Doing the same thing that these false prophets were doing. They're evil and they're wicked women, and their paths are the ways of destruction. We need to beware of the ways of Satan and the ploys of Satan. He's subtle. And his ministers are subtle. Turn with me to the 6th chapter. In verse 26, he says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." Same as the false prophetesses. I mean, you fall into her false words and her false sayings and her divinations, it'll bring you to a piece of bread. It's not the way of life. It's not the way of prosperity. Our prosperity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the God of heaven. We need to beware of this people and their ploys. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, just try to tie all this together. 2 Peter, he's talking here in 2 Peter in chapter 2. He's talking about false prophets. False prophets and false prophetesses. He lays out what they're like. In verse 14, he says, "Having eyes full of adultery." Yeah, their eyes are full of spiritual adultery. That is anti-God. They're false. Their teachings are false. Their ways are false. "Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." You see, they're doing all these things from their heart, which is evil and wicked. Just as we read about the false prophetesses. Just as we read about the false prophets in Ezekiel's day. And so, the false prophets and false prophetesses that Peter was speaking about, they exist in our day and time. They're there. Eyes full of adultery. Their ways are evil. Their ways are wicked. They bring cursing upon you. Their practices are exercised from the heart, and their covetous practices. In other words, they're full of fulfilling the desires and passions and lust of the flesh. Whatever they want, they do. So these false prophetesses prophesied out of their own heart, followed their own spirit, we might say, same as the false prophets, and they snared the souls of the people. Notice that the Lord said some of them were his people. My people, he said. My people. What a shame. What a shame that some of God's people will be taken in by their falsehoods. Let it not be named of us. Let it not be named of one another. We'll stop there.